You're listening to the Reasonable Faith Virtual Chapter Podcast. In this podcast, you'll hear the audio from one of our live discussions. Please join the discussion at reasonablefaithvirtual.org. Well, we got about 10 minutes left, and you mentioned the Shroud of Turin. So if you don't mind me asking, what are your thoughts about it? Well, could you explain what it is to anybody who doesn't know or maybe hasn't heard about it? Then what are your thoughts on it?
So in a nutshell, the Shroud of Turin is a linen cloth that is sewn together sort of like a tube type of thing. It's like a really long cloth that's folded over on each other and sewn together. And it contains an image on it that can only be seen through a negative. So in other words, you take a picture of it, and it's really difficult to see with the naked eye. It's also what we call in archaeology an unprovenanced artifact. Unprovenance just literally means it's not been, the artifact is, we know it's real, we don't know the original historical context, or at least we have no direct way that we can affirm where this thing came from. Then we go then to studying it through forensics. And the Shroud has a long history. The earliest reference, there's also potential references to it before, like, the 1400s. There maybe is a new one that's come out recently, a new reference that's earlier. But in any case, I'll just tell you my experience with it. Somebody mentioned earlier, I think David mentioned Gary Habermas. Years ago, I was the executive director for Frank Turek's ministry. I just graduated. Frank and I went to the same seminary together. And at the time, I was executive director of Cross Examine and was speaking with Frank. And I was doing some talks in archaeology and apologetics. And we got an email in from...
I guess this is the... The time where I'm supposed to say something entertaining until we get Ted back.
Well, if you don't mind, my ears perked up when I heard about the Shroud of Turin because I just recently read that letter. There's like a translation of the letter by, oh gosh, what is his name? Pierre Darcis or something. I can't pronounce it. It's in French. But there's a translation of that letter where he talks about how he investigated the Shroud of Turin and his predecessor at Lyrae had looked into it. And according to Darcis, it's just according to Darcis, had discovered the guy who painted the Shroud of Turin. But anyway, I yield.
All right. Well, it looks like we got Ted back. Ted, are you working now? Is your mic working?
Can you hear me?
Yeah, hear you good.
Okay, cool. So yeah, so anyway, I initially emailed Gary and then he called me and I said, Dr. Habermas, you should be on there because you're really one of the top experts in the world on the historical resurrection. And he was like, no, you need to do it. You need to be out there and learn about this. So he told me about two books to check out in preparation for being on. And one of the books is by Frederick Zugbe called The Crucifixion of Jesus. And the other one was an article that he co-authored with a scholar, forensic pathologist. I believe it was published in the Irish Journal of Theology. And I had extensive talks with Gary about this. In fact, when he came to spend the night, he missed a flight and he ended up staying at my house overnight. And we were down in my library, and I had a book on my shelf by Ian Wilson called The Blood on the Shroud, and a British scholar. And he took it off the shelf, and I was like, oh, do you know about this book? He goes, oh, I know Ian really well. He knew the guy who wrote the book. And anyway, essentially what Gary says about it, I'm just going to repeat what he says, and there's other things about it, is that what they do is through process of elimination, they eliminate what it's not. They eliminate it. It's not this. It's not this. It's not this. And the only explanation that seems to really, all the arrows seem to point to the fact that it is a photographic negative, like it acts like a photographic negative. Physiologically, there's actual human blood on it. Not only is there human blood, they've identified the blood type, and through spectral analysis, they've also, in looking at the shroud itself, they've also discovered, this is really amazing, is the sequence of the imaging. So what's interesting, and what Gary said, and I'll find the articles that talk about this, but essentially what he says about the sequence is that the blood was first, and then the image came after the blood, based on the electron microscope analysis of the fibrils of the thread. There's also pollen that is present in the shroud. Of course, it could be contaminated, but the pollen is consistent with Israel and at the time. The weave of the thread is consistent with other fabrics that we know in the first century. The other thing about the negative imaging is that there are two types of radiation in the electromagnetic spectrum that could produce really, really high radiation, and that is X-ray and gamma radiation. And so, like, for instance, if you had this really, really powerful X-ray flash or a gamma ray burst, something like that, produce this imaging on there. Also, they also affirmed, I heard somebody talking about it earlier, I'm not sure who was saying this, but it is absolutely not paint. This has been confirmed by multiple independent sources, that it is categorically, there is no paint pigment on it. The threads are actually burned, they're singed, they're like a darkened singe color. It's not a color, it's not pigment. There's quite a lot of chemical evidence for pigments and paints in the medieval period. There are zero evidence of paint on the fabric itself. So
not going to get a blood type back on paint either.
No, absolutely not. And so I asked Gary about this. In fact, you know who else was on this? And I forgot where I saw this, but William Lane Craig, Bill Craig, and Gary were talking about this on somebody's podcast, and they were kind of joking about it, and they said, what if we actually have the burial cloth of Christ, and we've been doing all this work, but of course, the defense of the resurrection does not rest on the Shroud of Turin, but it's a lot of really a powerful circumstantial evidence that points to the fact that it very well possibly could be burial cloth of Christ. But I would say, there's no way that we can know with 100% certainty, but I lean toward its authenticity. That's kind of where I fall on it. I would say I'm probably 80% on the belief.
Didn't they carbon date it, though? And didn't the carbon dating suggest that it didn't date back to the time of Jesus? And if so, then why wouldn't that be a nail in the coffin for it?
Okay, so what you're talking about is the 1977 carbon date that came back in the 1400s. What was discovered, it was actually folded in a lead coffin, and it was in a cathedral fire. And so some of the lead melted on the sides of the folded fabric, and it was repaired by nuns. And what was dated was the repair by the nuns in the 1400s, not the actual cloth itself. And the last time I talked to Gary, which was a couple of years ago in New Orleans, he said that I asked him, is there anything on the shroud, any more new movement? He said he thinks the Vatican is going to give permission to a new dating on more of the cloth in the main part of the actual of the shroud itself. So what was dated was the repaired part of the cloth that we know was damaged from a cathedral fire.
Well, that'd definitely be provocative if they let us do that. Simon, I think you said that you had a question about it.
Yeah, absolutely.
Well,
I did.
Do Simon and then the response before we close out.
Okay, can you hear me?
Yeah, go ahead.
So in the gospel accounts, this is with regard to the shroud. It said that Jesus was anointed with ointments, with like 100 pounds of ointment. Or at least several pounds of ointment. And wouldn't that impact the shroud in some way? I believe it hardens into like some sort of resin. Is that true?
I would have to look at the I would have to look at the quote in the Gospel of Thomas, the exact quote and exactly what it said. But if you also remember in the Gospels, it said that they rapidly put Jesus, because they, you know, he died and they were trying to put him in the grave before the sun or before the Passover, the Jewish Passover. So they rapidly buried him. And if you remember, the women coming to the tomb were going to prepare to embalm the body. So it's possible that all of that ointment and all that preparation was not going to be applied until after, because obviously they didn't even have time to wash the body. If the shroud image is the actual image of Jesus, then we still have blood stains from the body. So what that would indicate is that the body was, you know, rapidly wrapped in the cloth, with the idea that it was going to be later prepared on, you know, when, of course, when the women came to the tomb. It says in the Gospels, when they came to, you know, the tomb, to, and they had this, all the anointing, you know, items, the body was risen. All they saw was the cloth. So I'm not sure. I would have to look at that. Yeah, in the Gospel of Thomas. But I also don't.
The Gospel of Thomas. John's Gospel, it says Nicodemus brought a mixture of myrrh and aloes, about 75 pounds, taking Jesus' body, and the two of them, you know, Nicodemus and Joseph of Arimathea, taking Jesus' body, and the two of them wrapped it in, with the spices and strips of linen. You know, so like, how big were these strips of linen? And it seems like Jesus was wrapped with the spices, and it was 75 pounds. You know, it seems like that could become hardened. But I'm not sure.
Like I said, my case does not rest on the, I don't think this, I mean, I lean toward it. I think all the other evidence is pretty powerful. I can't explain it, but I don't.
Yeah, I hear you. Yeah, it's very interesting. Yeah, for sure.
I'd be curious to see how Gary would answer that. I think, you know, you'd have to talk to him about it. If you ever have Gary on here, Matt, you could, you know, ask him about that. Simon, that was a great question. I tend to think that if in fact he was rapidly buried, you know, before the sun was down, it's possible that all of those spices were, you know, were there with the body, but not necessarily on the body yet, and they were going to be, you know, used to embalm the body when the time came. But yeah, I would have to see. I would have to see how Gary answers that.
All right. Thanks. Appreciate it.
Sounds good. Well, hey, Ted, thanks again so much for coming and for talking to us today. And really appreciate your presentation. Obviously very knowledgeable on the topics and whatnot. And yeah, really appreciate you coming by. And everybody can check out epicarchaeology.org to see his recent work. But yeah, thanks a lot, Ted, for the presentation.
Thank you for having me on, Matt. It was a joy to be with you guys.
All right, sounds good. Well, have a great evening, and yeah, we'll see everybody later. Thank you for listening to this episode of the Reasonable Faith Virtual Chapter Podcast. If you'd like to join the discussion, please join us at reasonablefaithvirtual.org.